Yes, good morning, everybody. Who's got Christmas decorations up already? Who's doing it today? No? Next week, most of us, yeah. No, yeah, Christmas, we'll be starting our Christmas theme next week. But today, I am talking about mission. Obviously, if you were here last week, John Andrews, kind of just this 2 weeks we're looking at this. We did a lot of the kind of teaching behind mission and why it's important for us to engage in mission as followers of Jesus, how it's all our responsibility as well. I'm just going to give us some more practical things and hopefully help us to understand how as a church and how you can be involved in this as well. So the title of my message this morning is A New Season of Mission. Now, first of all, I'm just going to talk a little about vision. Now, we all know vision is important, don't we? If we're someone that's got kind of excellent eyesight, 20/20 vision, the kind that you need to be an airline pilot or something like that, we'll know that that's helpful in our everyday lives. Some of us, we may need glasses or contact lenses or a bit of help with our vision that we struggle to see things either really close up or far away. Or some of us have a complete lack of vision as well and need the support of someone else's vision or a guide dog's vision to help us to do and get about our daily lives. But wherever we find ourselves, we understand the importance of vision, don't we? I really realised the importance of vision. It struck home to me when I was doing a primary school assembly. So when I did finish college, I did a year out doing youth and schools work. And this was something I'd never done before. I was 18. I'd not done a lot of speaking in front of people like this. So we had our 3 weeks training at the start of this year out, teaching us how to plan assemblies, how to write them, what kind of things schools wanted you to do in these assemblies and things like that. So we'd kind of had this training and got our team in the office together and planned this assembly out, our first one. So we went through it a few times and we kind of got to the point where this is good. This is going to go down really, really well. Practiced it obviously a few times, but obviously when you're practicing it, there's no children there, is there? Children make it run a little bit differently. So we planned this assembly out, and when the game that we started with was we'd had one child at the front, we blindfolded them and got another child to come and give them directions. We set out a little course on the floor for this child to direct the blindfolded child through this course. What could go wrong, obviously? So this child set off and they started walking blindfolds, kind of walking out, and either they didn't understand or they just weren't listening. I don't know what happened, but they just started off walking kind of off to the side and veering off, not following any of the directions that they were being given by this other child. And then I don't know if this other child just gave up or didn't know what to say or just froze, but they kind of just stopped giving directions and this other child just kept walking. And they started walking towards this little table where the projector and the laptop was set on, projecting onto the screen at the front of the assembly hall. And it was one of those moments that you kind of get into slow motion and you're thinking, someone shouting stop, and I kind of jumped up thinking, I've got to get there quickly before they walk straight into this table. But unfortunately, I was too late. This blindfolded kid walked straight into this table, knocked the projector and the laptop onto the floor, and the screen just went black. We kind of picked it up, plugged it back in, checked if it was working, and nothing happened. Our first assembly, we come in to school, and I was like, we have broken the school's projector. We were in trouble. But in that moment, I recognised the importance of vision, to see where you're going, to see where you're heading, to see what is ahead. And when it comes to us as a church, it's important that we understand vision. For us as a church, we have got our own vision statement. But the thing is, with vision, it does three things. Vision creates purpose. For us as a church, we recognise we're followers of Jesus and we want to be obedient to God's word. But for us as a church, obviously that God's word can be translated, can be interpreted. There's so much in there for us to understand. But putting that into a statement for us all to kind of get behind and follow, it gives us a purpose as us, as church, and as God's people. Vision identifies priorities. It identifies priorities for us. We recognise that there's so much need in our world. There's so many people in our world that we can help, so many different initiatives and projects that we can get involved in and help with and get on board with. And if we tried to do everything, we'd probably end up doing nothing very well. In that, it helps us to have priorities of what actually God is calling us to do. to say yes to some things, to say no to some things. Barry Woodward, for those that know Barry, does this amazingly, that Barry always uses the phrase, says, the UK is my parish. He understands that God has called him to speak to people in the UK. If he went to France and started talking about Manchester, I'm not sure they would get it or even get his accent in that way. But he recognises that what God has called him to and Barry's vision for his work, it helps him say yes to things, it helps him say no to things. And vision unites people. Vision hopefully unites people. For us as a church, we recognise that we've all got our different preferences, we've all got our different styles, we'd all have our different way of doing things. But if we're all pulling in our own directions, if we're all wanting it our way, if we're all wanting to do the things that we want to do, then we're all going to be pulling in opposite directions to each other. With a vision that is set by leadership of the church, us getting on board with that, us getting behind that, it recognises actually we're united in the direction that we are heading and what God wants us to do. So for anyone that does not know, our vision statement is to be a light on a hill, transforming our communities one person at a time. And the passage that really helped us kind of craft this vision statement and gave us a lot of the... behind it is Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, which is the passage I'm going to be talking about this morning. It says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, the reason I've started talking about vision, as we're looking at a mission, you thought I was talking about this morning. But the thing is, our vision statement is all about mission. This verse here, talking about being a light in our world, our vision statement, being a light on a hill, transforming our communities one person at a time, is all about mission. About us going into our world, about us taking God's good news, about us showing people God's love, to telling people about the transformational power that Jesus has to people in our world. Being a light in our world means mission. For us, this means our communities, transforming our communities one person at a time. That does not just mean Bolton. There's not a line drawn on our map where we go. We're inside this area. Anything outside, that's someone else's problem. But actually transforming our communities, wherever we set foot. If you're part of this church, your workplace is our communities. Your neighbourhood is our communities. Your family is our communities. Wherever we go into those places are the communities that we believe God wants us to impact. God wants us to be a light in those places. It's wherever God leads us, the opportunities God gives us, the doors God opens up for us to be light in those places. So, as I mentioned, the title of my message this morning is A New Season of Mission. I've just got three things from this passage that I'm going to share with us this morning that hopefully help us as we head into a new season of mission, and then some practical ways that you can be involved in this as well. The first thing is the need in everyone. There is a need in everyone. Verse 15 in this passage says, it gives light to everyone in the house. It gives light to everyone in the house. Now, as people, as humans, I think it's in our nature to present the best of ourselves, isn't it? That often when if we're heading out of the house, the majority of us will have some kind of check of our appearance before we head out of the door, whether we look in the mirror, we check our hair's kind of looking okay, or our clothes are looking neat and tidy, that we're not covered in stains or anything like that. There are some people in our world, and I say absolute fair play to you, that have no check before they head out of the house, that will happily walk down to the shops in their pyjamas with their hair a bit misplaced, and things like that, and I say absolute well done to you. Ultimate confidence in yourself, not being bothered about what anybody else thinks that you will look like. I'm sure we've all seen those people down the shops with the slippers and the pyjamas on. I won't ask anyone to raise their hands if anyone's done that in here themselves. But the majority of us, we want to present the best of ourselves, don't we? Before we head out of the house, we take some check. I know for some it'll be more than others. Some check of our appearance before we head out. If we post it on social media, we post the highlights, don't we? The good things, the things that we've done well, the holiday kind of snaps. We don't tend to share the mundane or the rubbish or the broken things, the things that have gone wrong in our world. We like to present the best to other people. Often people ask you the question, are you doing okay? And it's, yeah, everything's great, everything's fine, when in reality, it's not. There's things in our world that we'd rather not people knew about. But there is a need in everyone. However much of a show we can put on, however well we can present ourselves to other people, there's a need in all of us that we all need Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Actually, every single person on this planet, however well we seem we've got it all together, however badly it seems to be going for us, wherever we are on that spectrum, we all need Jesus. Our purpose of being on this earth is for relationship with God. It's to know him, to worship him, to live out the plans that God has got for our lives. It's that purpose, that need in all of us is for relationship with Jesus and why we are here. Even your friend that seems to have it all together, that's got the money, that's got the perfect house, that's got the nice cars, that all their children have got PhDs and do voluntary work with animal charities on the weekend in their spare time, they still need Jesus. Whatever it is that people look like or present or seem like they've got it all together, they all need Jesus. It's not just those in prisons, it's not just those that are homeless, not just those that have got obvious needs or obvious things that they are struggling with in their lives. We all need Jesus. Maybe there's people in your workplace that you can think of, are maybe just subconsciously you've thought, well, they've got it all together. They don't really need Jesus. Whoever they are, without that relationship with God, that is why we are created. That is our purpose, for relationship with him. Everyone in our world needs Jesus. Second thing this verse points out for us is that it takes courage to stand. There is courage in a stand. Just before this, in this verse 15, it says they put a light on a stand for everyone to see. Now, when something is put on a stand, it's in a vulnerable position, isn't it? It's in a bit of an awkward position at times. There's a story about a child at a school in a maths class. And this one child's got a music lesson in the middle of the class. So if anyone remembers how music lessons work at high school, or they did when I was there anyway, that you would go out of your normal lessons to have your music lesson, and then you'd kind of come back in to the lesson that you had on your timetable halfway through. So this child leaves the class halfway through to go to his music lesson. And the teacher says, well, let's do a bit of a test. Let's do a bit of test on them. So they say to the class, okay, when this child comes back in, I'm going to ask you all the question. I'm going to ask you all, what is 7 times 6? I'm going to give you two options. The answer obviously is 6 times 7? 42, correct. Glad you're all awake. But I want you to all put your hand up and say that the answer is something different. The answer is 44. And the class go, all okay. So this child comes back in from their lesson. The teacher says, okay, next question. 7 times 6. Hand up if you think the answer is 42. And this child that's been out comes back in, puts their hand up, thinking, well, yeah, that's the answer. But very quickly realise nobody else in the class has got their hand up. So whether it's realising that they think I must have got it wrong, everyone else is right, or just out of pure embarrassment puts their hand back down again. Teacher says, okay, who thinks the answer is 44? Everybody in the class puts their hand up. And that child then raises their hand as well, thinking, I either want to be with everybody else or they must have got it right and maybe I was wrong. But in that moment, it's about that child not wanting to be the one person that's different from the rest of the class, not wanting to be the one person that stands out from the crowd. When we stand maybe that in a way that is different to the people around us, we put ourselves in a place where we're living or speaking or acting differently to the people in our world. It takes courage. It takes sometimes a bit of awkwardness, sometimes a bit of vulnerability from ourselves to put ourselves in that position. But God wants to use us in that. So many times in the Bible, we think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We think of Daniel and his story and the way that they were willing to put themselves in a vulnerable, awkward position. But God strengthened them. God used them in that. For each and every one of us, the times we step out in faith, we step out and put ourselves in those places to be a light in our world, to be a light in darkness, to live in a different way to the people. God will never abandon us. God will never leave us in that, but he will use us in incredible ways. As we're willing to step out, God wants to work through us. God wants to partner with us in those moments. If we want to be people that bring transformation, to bring change, we can't be people that blend in. and do and live the same as everybody else. If you do things the same way, you're going to get the same results over and over again. If we live in the same way as other people, then we aren't going to be able to change or make a difference in our world, to be a light in our dark world. It takes courage to stand. The third thing is the power of a town. The power of a town. Now, we think about a town now, and towns have obviously developed so much over the last few hundreds of years and centuries. We're thinking about towns in biblical times when Jesus would have said these words, that each town would have had different people that would have supplied and done different trades. So we think of things like fishermen. They would have been builders, carpenters, potters. And within all these large towns, there would have been all these different people that have had these different trades and carried out different types of work. The verse there says, a town cannot be hidden. We think about the way that this works, that if you would have needed a house building, you obviously go to the builder. If you need some fish, you go to the fisherman for that. And each person specializing in their trade and in their way of working. And we think about now, for people that, we want to be people, you have our supermarkets, don't we, that do it all. You can go to your large supermarket chain, you can buy almost anything from one place. Some internet sites that aim to sell absolutely everything you need. But we think about a town in that way, that there's each individuals that have their specialities, individuals that have their own strengths and giftings, and that people can share that, and it makes a complete town that can do almost everything in that way. For us, we might often feel like, well, what can I do? I'm one person, I can only do this, or I can only do one small thing myself. But we recognise one light next to another light, one fisherman next to a builder, next to a potter, all actually creates an incredible thing made up together. One light may well be possible to be hidden. One light may be possible to be isolated and put to one side, but a town cannot be hidden. When we play our part, when we do what we can do well as individuals, when we do what we can do as a church, put that next to another church or another organization, or from one individual stood next to another individual, being a light in their place, it creates a town of lights. A town that cannot be hidden. Never underestimate what you can do. I think, well, it's just so small. It's just one person I can speak to. It's just one act of kindness, one act of love that I can do in my world. A town cannot be hidden. When we bring all of our hearts, all of our mission was being light in our worlds together, it creates a town that cannot be hidden. For us as a church as well, we know that we're not called to do everything. Like I said, that if we tried to do everything, we'd probably do nothing well. But we are called to do what God has asked us to do in our situations, in the places we are in, and us playing our part, us being a light in our world, God will use that alongside other lights in our world. Moving on from here, thinking about there are thousands of ways that we could share God's love, be a light in our world, not just in Bolton, not just in the Northwest, across our whole world as well. And for us as a church, we've done this in the past through families like the Lurie family. Many of you know Tony and Laura, that they spent a lot of time out in Brazil. We supported them out there, sent teams out to Brazil as well. Now they've moved back to the UK, but they did incredible work out there working with children and the foster care system, helping children being placed in loving families out there as well. Jill Saunders as well, we sent teams out to Philippines and Italy where Jill was, and just supported the incredible missionary work that Jill did out there. Now Jill works for Wycliffe Bible Translators. We continue to support Jill, but there's no longer the opportunity for us to practically go and support either of these people or families. So it comes to, for us, a new season of mission. Over the past few years, I think we've been in a place of survival mode, haven't we? That COVID hit a few years ago, and literally it caused us all to go into survival mode for our health. That we were protecting ourselves, we were social distancing, we were doing all that, and it forced us into a bit of a mindset of, I'll just make sure I get through these next few months. I'll make sure I get through this next year ahead. Not just with our health, with our finances. For a lot of us, it was uncertain about what was happening with jobs and things like that. For businesses, if we were people in here that are working, have got our own businesses, there was incredible instability about what was going to happen to our businesses as well. obviously apart from Zoom, that took the opportunity with both hands in that situation. But it was so very much a season of time of survival mode, people, wasn't it? For us as a church, we are so grateful for how God continued to use us through that time, that we've continued to be able to grow and develop throughout that time and draw more people to us as a church as well. But we're recognising, as a church, a new season of mission is here. Not just in the way we've partnered with organisations in the past, that we're looking for new ways to do that, but for us and our individuals as well, that actually we should no longer be in survival mode. We should be in a place where we're looking to see how God wants to use us, how we want to grow, how we want to be a light in our world. Firstly, for us then, as individuals, as John said last week, that it is, as if you are call yourself a follower of Jesus, it is your responsibility to be a missionary. It's your responsibility to go and be a light in your world. In January, we are going to be starting a new course for people to help with evangelizing to the people in your world. It's not going to have anything to do with speaking on a stage and sharing a testimony like a Barry Wood or anything like that. It's about your day-to-day life, how you interact with people, in the conversations you have, how you speak to people in your world as well. So we're going to do that through life groups, but if you're not part of a life group, there'll be opportunity to do that course as well here at church. But we want to encourage as many of you as possible to engage with that course. It's so good to interact with that and understand a bit more, giving some tools and tips that it can be daunting. Like I said, it takes courage to stand. It can be daunting to maybe have that conversation with somebody about how Jesus has changed your life, or about what church is, or answering those awkward questions that people sometimes have. It's about giving you the confidence, giving you the boldness, giving you the tools to do that in your life in a powerful way. So that is going to be starting in January. We'll give you more information about that, about how you as an individual can step into this new season of mission. And then secondly, as a church and a wider organisation, we've been considering praying. I know John Drew said you shouldn't pray about it, but we have prayerfully considered the organisations we partner with as a church in other countries, saying that those opportunities we had with Illyries and Jill are no longer there. Obviously, there's an ongoing relationship with Urban Outreach. Urban Outreach do incredible work in and around Bolton. We support them in so many different ways with food hubs and different things like that. But like you've seen with Christmas Dinner on Jesus, what an incredible project for people that have maybe had a rough year, maybe you're in need, but receiving a Christmas hamper that is literally Christmas Dinner on Jesus. That for so many people in our world have got no real understanding of what Christmas is about. It's just a hard time when we have to spend a bit more money or when we get to have an extra party. But actually understanding that Christmas is all about Jesus coming to earth to be with us, helping them understand that in such a practical and powerful way. So once again, we're partnering with Urban Outreach for our Christmas offering doing that. But then our new partnership is with a charity called One by One. One by One is they work with children in slavery in so many different nations across the world. Becky Murray is the lady that founded this charity and oversees it now. And she spent a bit of time with us as ministers a few months ago, just explaining and telling the heart and stories behind this incredible charity and the work that they do. So if you'd like to watch your screens, she'll tell you a lot better than I can.
Did you know there are almost 50 million people trapped in modern-day slavery, and a quarter of the victims are children, with victims being tricked, coerced and forced into a life of bondage in brick kilns, factories and even brothels. Modern-day slavery takes on many different forms, including domestic servitude, sexual exploitation and forced labour. As you watch this video right now, victims are facing threats, violence, and even torture. They're also deprived of basic privileges such as food, clean water, and education. It's an issue that impacts every country, including yours, but there is hope. At One by One, we reach, rescue, and restore victims of modern-day slavery. We prevent slavery through our Dignity Project, where we provide girls with reusable sanitary resources so that they can stay in education. We work with police, child protection officers and outreach teams that are embedded in the local community. We identify child slaves in brick kilns across Pakistan who are then restored through our residential support centre. We work with governments to change policy and campaign for long-term change. We are a movement of ordinary people with an extraordinary faith, fighting slavery across three continents. This happens because of thousands of people just like you. Freedom builders who believe enough is enough, that exploitation has to end, and that light truly can cancel out darkness. It's because of you that we can make a difference. We can see lives reached, rescued, and restored one by one.
Hopefully you can see why that charity resonates with us as a church. Being a light in the darkness, rescuing children one by one. Children as young as 3 years old, working in brick factories in Pakistan. We are going to partner with One by One in a few different ways. So first of all, through our Christmas Day offering. To each year on our Christmas Day service, we take an offering that we give to another charity. So this year that is going to go to One by One. You can give towards that online through the Christmas offering 2024, the same fund as the Christmas Dinner on Jesus. That work is going to go to building a new home in Uganda and helping reach more children that are bound in slavery in that country as well. But we're going to continue to work with One by One in the coming years. Becky will be coming here to speak in next September and then talking about how we can send a mission team out to Kenya, to their children's home there, and where you yourselves can experience actually the incredible work that they do in that country and across the world. It's an opportunity for us to see hands-on. As John said last week, it's not just about us, what we can do, but it actually transforms something in us. It does something in our hearts, in our faith, in our relationship with God, ourselves. I encourage you to consider that, to being part of a team that goes out in 2026. But for us, as it comes to thinking about mission, that it can never just be about us. It's never just about what we get about coming to church on a Sunday morning, sitting in our seats, thinking that was a nice service. I enjoyed that, I didn't enjoy that, I liked this, I didn't like that. But ultimately, our relationship with God is not about us. It's about us bringing Jesus to our world, to be being light in the darkness, to be in transformation to the people that we encounter in our lives, bringing the hope of Jesus, the powerful transformation a relationship with him has and can have for the people in our world. Maybe there's people God will put on your heart this morning to pray for, to speak to ask to go for a coffee, to have that conversation with, that you know you can be a light in their world in this time. Maybe it's our Christmas offerings that you can give towards the incredible work that happens with Christmas Dinner on Jesus and One by One that's going on, and bring transformation to lives that way as well. Maybe it's you considering, thinking, I can start saving up for going out to see something, to get my hands dirty myself, playing my part in mission in that way as well. If you want to give to that, if you put the slide up on the screen now there, bridgeportals.com/give. Select that Christmas offering if you want to donate towards that. We really believe that God wants to use us to bring transformation to people's lives. Maybe people you will never even meet, you'll never even see. But by playing your part, you can show Jesus to people this Christmas. You can show what a relationship with him means. Let's stand together, church, and I'll pray. God, we thank you for what you did for each and one of us on the cross, Lord. The price you paid, the pain you went through, Lord God, so that we can live in freedom, we can live in relationship with you, Lord. But I pray for us all in this place, anyone in this room, anyone watching online, there will never be people that are comfortable with where we're at and comfortable in that place, God. But understanding that you've called us to be light in the darkness. You've called us to speak. You've called us to stand. You've called us to share your good news, what it is to know you, God, and the power that you carry, Lord God. What a relationship with you can really mean for us in our everyday lives. Give us the boldness, God, even when it's awkward, even when it's hard. Give us the courage to stand, to bring a light in your world, God. Amen.